This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Now, can you think of an Australian series that has outstreamed shows like Seinfeld in the United States? Now, Sharon on the farm has texted in and got it right. What is it? In fact, it's so popular that it ranked in the top 10.
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. Thanks for having me.
What show are we talking about?
Bluey. Of all shows, the animated show about dogs frolicking in Brisbane is taking the world by storm in association with all those streaming minutes of the show. There's also apparently 1,000 pieces of Bluey merchandise for sale around the world. Yeah, 1,000 different pieces.
I must have been living under a rock because I've heard of it, but I've never watched it before. How many countries is it broadcast in?
Yeah, so it's apparently broadcast in over 20 countries, including the big markets like China and the US, where, you know, that's where your money's to be made, but also where your big audiences are. And I just find it astonishing that given how crowded the kids' animation landscape actually is. I mean, I've got toddler nephews and there just seems to be a new show that they're obsessed with every week. That this show has been able to achieve cut through in that market is itself a fascinating phenomenon. Why that and not all of those other animated shows? You know, there's very few that rise to that sort of Peppa Pig sort of level of fame.
Someone texted in, could it be Kath and Kim or Bluey? So most people are getting it right, but they're bringing in some other shows as well. Now, what's the benefit of Bluey? Is it enabling us to get through to kids all over the world? What's it doing for us?
So this is one of the arguments, and certainly the ABC ran an article suggesting this, that it is a vehicle to export Australia, Australian values, Australia as a place to visit to overseas markets. And there's a contrast that we haven't really had anything that's done that to this extent since Crocodile Dundee. And we're talking in the 80s for Crocodile Dundee. And as a result of the success of that film, you had Paul Hogan fronting a tourism campaign designed to get, you know, lure US audiences to Australia. Mm. And there's the capacity to see, is Bluey doing something similar?
I wonder if it is, because when you think about Crocodile Dundee, and I suppose that image of us has sort of lasted, hasn't it? And I mean, I know, Lauren, you quite often wrestle a crocodile in your backyard. You know, we all
well,
do it.
I don't want you to reveal too many of my secrets on air. But yes, it's something I like to do privately, okay? Don't yuck my yum on air, Warren.
I know that, you know, I mean, it's so long ago and it really is so out of touch with reality. Is Bluey changing how we are perceived overseas?
Yeah, look, and this is something I've done research and written on in the past, because whenever there's a campaign, you know, whether Kylie Minogue fronts it or we've had different attempts to sell Australia to the world, there's always a backlash in Australia with an argument that that doesn't look like us. You know, just the joke you're making now about we're not wrestling crocodiles, we're not going around chucking shrimps on Barbies or whatever it is, that feels, that image and that ochre image feels very foreign to a lot of Australians. But there's the argument that what Australians like about Australia is often actually quite difficult to sell to other people. You know, kind of if you live in Melbourne, for example, it's hard to sell Melbourne to someone overseas. It's like, well, it's a lovely place to live. Why should I go there? I don't know. Whereas, you know, places like Sydney, you could sell a waterfront and all the rest. And this argument as to what it is about Bluey that's seemingly doing something like that, is it because it shows Australians to be friendly? Because friendly is actually one thing we probably would agree on. Not necessarily saying everyone we've ever met is friendly in Australia, but that it feels like it's a universal good thing, as opposed to the Ocker Crocodile Dundee caricature, which some people not only didn't relate to, but found it actually a bit offensive. Yeah. The friendliness of Bluey and the sort of larrikinism of Bluey, which isn't in an Ocker presentation, is actually something that Australians like about ourselves.
I wonder if it's good timing, considering, you know, our image was sort of tarnished a little bit, wasn't it, of being a little bit tough to get into during the pandemic, etc. Do you think the timing's pretty good?
Yeah, and I think it's also just this idea that there is a laid-backness to Australia, which, again, it's a fine line because that sort of she'll be right, mate, kind of attitude in Australia, I think, has sometimes sort of glossed over a lot of the problems we've got in this country, particularly for people who are marginalised, that, you know, that attitude of it's not a problem for me, therefore it shouldn't be a problem for you kind of thing is a shortcoming of this country. But you could argue that absolutely that idea of it being an open and friendly place to visit is potentially something good that comes out of this. Whether or not, though, and this is the sticking point for me, do you watch an animation and think, I want to visit that animated country, you know, because it's Brisbane in the show, but you're not really seeing Brisbane. You're seeing an illustration of Brisbane. And I mean, when I was a kid, I loved the Flintstones, right? I didn't think that I was ever going to go to Bedrock, right? Or the Simpsons and going to Springfield. I just feel there's a bit of a bow there a fond perception of Australians. You know, I can imagine people look at Bluey and think, oh, Australians seem nice. Okay. But do I now book a flight there and spend a whole load of money in that country? I'd have to see some data to actually believe that.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about Bluey's international success and what it means for Australia. Lauren, if we did see an impact on tourism, I mean, Bluey's obviously aimed at kids, so I'm imagining it will change their opinion of Australia as potentially being a friendly place to visit. So I would imagine there's some sort of delay anyway before we saw some sort of flow-on effect in terms of visitors from Bluey.
Yeah, although the data seems to suggest that it's not just children enjoying the show. So that part of the success is actually driven by their parents. So kids are watching it, but their parents evidently don't mind it being on in the background. In fact, sometimes tune in themselves, because to get that data of within the top 10 shows being watched in the US in 2022, it's not just children tuning in.
How important is it to the financial position of the ABC?
Yeah, obviously this is their most successful show of all time. I mean, this is a co-production with ABC and the BBC, but certainly it says we can produce world-class quality television. And this is a conversation that's happening in the background. You've probably seen conversations about this in Parliament, where they're looking to insist on any of the streaming services who are operating in Australia are going to have a quota that they have to put a certain amount of money towards Australian content. And in the past, we've had similar rules and we've ended up with a lot of junk content. You know, we don't want that money spent on game shows and dodgy reality TV shows. I think Bluey shows we can actually not just make good stuff in Australia, but make exportable stuff that makes money for whoever's showing it and for the producers, because that's always been the reluctance of the big studios putting money behind Australian shows. Well, the market's so small in Australia, no one else is going to want to watch it. If you can demonstrate, actually, our product has a global market, suddenly we look like a more attractive place to invest in.
I wonder if the series would have been made if it was pitched to a commercial network.
Yeah, this is a good question, because I think which is actually the very point of the ABC and SBS, is they're not supposed to be primarily producing commercial content. They're supposed to be making content that's culturally important and significant that isn't there primarily for a profit motive. So you could actually say, well, this is one of those times where they accidentally stumbled into something that was actually highly profitable.
I wonder if we had a Conservative government in Canberra at the moment, would they therefore use that as an excuse to cut funding and say, well, you know what, you can fund yourselves?
Yeah, and this is has long been, not only in Australia, but the BBC has this exact same debate in the UK all the time. The BBC, obviously, bigger funded because there's just, you know, obviously the population of the UK is much larger, bigger budget, etc. But they produce so many of the British shows that we watch here come from the BBC. That is a public broadcaster. So I think, you know, we're very used to thinking about the US model. They don't have a public broadcaster the way Australia and the UK does. But we have to constantly be justifying its importance in a landscape that is chock full of private providers.
Definitely. A message from David from Fitzroy says, Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodile.
Never clocked that. Another one here saying, Lauren is a legend. Loving it. There you go, Lauren.
Is that from my mum? Actually, my mum wouldn't send that. That suddenly I was idealising, pretending I had a different set of parents.
No, it doesn't say Lauren's mum. Just a fan. Lauren, great to chat with you.
Excellent.
We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.